like to call to order the special meeting of the Unalaska City Council. Call to order at 1:06 p.m. on Saturday, May 30th, 2026. That's Councilman Long Luby. Read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent government or stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Madam Clerk, I received a message from Mr. Longo.
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Chastain?
Here.
Mr. Tungle? Mr. Tuvikov?
Here. We do have a quorum. Councilman Tungle may call in. Yep. Yep.
He will try, Mr. Mayor. He did say that he will give it a try, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Do have a quorum. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
The flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, second by Councilman Chastain. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion, the agenda is adopted. This time our hiring consultant, Tom Young, will serve as a moderator for this for the brief introductions from each of the to provide our candidate with some helpful contact. First on board is Mr. Young, or what's his name? Tom Young?
Yes, I'm here.
You can do the introductions for us, please, of the city manager candidates, and then we'll go into executive session.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, before I'll introduce myself, Vince Tudikoff, Mayor, City of Unalaska, and ask Councilman Coleman and move our way down the line for, it's your name?
Sherry Coleman. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, I missed what we're doing here. Yes. Good evening. My name is Sherry Coleman. I've been a resident of Unalaska for over 20 years and sitting here on city council for about 9 years. I work for a seafood processing company and a family here, and look forward to this interview process. And welcome.
I'm Deneen Luby. I'm a city council member for about 5 years. I've lived in the community of Unalaska for 35 years, and I've raised kids here that have graduated through school, grandchildren. I own a couple of different businesses in town, and I look forward to the interview process, and welcome.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, my name is Thomas Bell. I've lived in this community about 25 years now. I've been on council, I think, coming up on 6 years. I work in the community as a longshoreman and a labor representative. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Chastain?
There, Zach Chastain. This is my third term on council. got here in 1978, left for a little while, and came back, and here I am.
Okay, thank you. Is Councilman Tungle on? Councilman Tungle may call in later. Councilman Longo, introduction.
Yes, hi. My name is Anthony Longo. Been a resident of Unalaska since 2011. This is my first term on city council. I've been on for a little over 2 years, and I look forward to this interview and getting to know you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Longo. We'll turn it over to our Tom Young, who is going to be our moderator, to introduce our candidate this time, Rudy Beam. So, turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. So, we have Rudy Beam with us. Before we turn it over to him, I will just go over a quick overview of the process today. So we have 90 minutes set aside for the interview with Rudy Beam, 19 questions. We may not take the full 90 minutes, but we will not exceed 90 minutes. I will note that we're starting 10 minutes past 1 o'clock, so we'll add extra time on should we need it at the end of his interview, which was supposed to go till 2:30. Council, you will have opportunity to ask follow-up questions after each question that Mr. Beam responds to, but we'll need to keep those limited. And if questions start to go long from the council, I might ask you to hold those to the end so that we can come back to them to make sure that Mr. Beam has enough time to address all of the questions that we have for him today. Rudy, you will need to manage your time as you go through the questions and answers. I will provide time checks throughout this process to assist with that. And at the very end of this process, we have set aside time for you to ask questions of the council. Again, I don't think I said this at the start. I am Tom Young, Director of Operations for Refit Associates. We are the recruiting firm that has partnered with the city on the city manager search. And at this time, Rudy, I am going to turn it over to you with our first question. And for the first question, you have a little bit of extra time built into the schedule on this. And that is, please tell us about yourself and your background and what interests you about living and working in a remote Aleutian Island community such as Unalaska. Rudy, the floor is yours.
Mr. Mayor, can I interject real quick? Can we ask the clerk to bring Rudy?
Go ahead.
Can we ask Rudy to show his camera and the clerk to blow up Rudy on the screen so we see him?
Mr. Bean, would you please turn your video on?
There you are.
There we go.
Or there's technical difficulties, so we cannot, in some cases, go on live.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for the introductions. It was great to even just to hear your voice. I respect what all of you do as city council members, mayor, serving the community. It's not an easy job. I was a city administrator for the city of Cake for 9 years, working for my community. So I get that it's sometimes it's rewarding and sometimes it's a challenge. So just wanted to mention that. From the beginning, born and raised in Cake, Alaska. I'm a Tlingit here in Southeast from Cake. I graduated high school and took a basketball scholarship into the University of Alaska Southeast in Juneau. Got my business degree there. And at the time, The big thing was to work for the state, so I ended up working for Department of Natural Resources for about a year and a half. Took me about 11 interviews to get the position, and by that point I was ready to take any position, and it happened to be a mailroom clerk for the Department of Natural Resources. And a humble start. That was a very humble start to my employment career. I was there at the state, like I said, for a year and a half. Then I moved to the local Native organization, Tlingit and Haida. Worked there for roughly 8 years. And a friend convinced me to move from Tlingit and Haida to Bureau of Indian Affairs. And I was there for roughly about the same time. Transitioned out of Juneau to Fairbanks. I ended up living in Fairbanks for a couple of years. I moved my family out of Juneau, went to Fairbanks. Had some personal issues there. Ended up moving back into CAKE and became the seat administrator for, roughly 9 years. By that time in my employment career, I was pretty set in basically what I wanted to do employment-wise, especially here in the community, and checked quite a few boxes on what I wanted to do personally. With the mayor, I served under two mayors and accomplished quite a few big things in the community. And then I moved to Prince of Wales Island here in Southeast, worked for the Craig tribe for a year and a half. My dad passed around that time, so I ended up moving back into the community here, into CAKE, to be with my mother. And I'm currently working at the school district doing PE for the kids and tutoring for the kids. I happen to be a board of director for the local ANC, Alaska Native Corporation, which is CAKE Tribal Corporation. I serve, I'm the chairman for our lands committee, our tourism committee, and our local 8A fuel committee. So, wear a number of hats here in the community, and keeps me very busy. What interests me about Unalaska Dutch Harbor is, of course, the remoteness. Understand it's out there, and I don't consider it as remote as some people would think, just because, moving from Southeast into Fairbanks and visiting roughly about 35 to 40 villages from Barrow down into Bethel and into the Delta. Some of those communities I consider really, really remote. So. Like Unalaska, one thing that we need here in our community and that we need to make sure is updated and working is our harbor port infrastructure. Without it, our community probably wouldn't survive very, very, very long, from our subsistence users using it to the commercial vessels coming in. Understand how important our harbors and port infrastructure is. And that's what, knowing from the TV show Deadliest Catch, in Dutch Harbor, and just doing research on the impact your ports and harbors, is to the community. That's probably the big thing that interests me, is just being able to working in a community that has and understands how important ports and harbors and that infrastructure is to the survival of the community.
Thank you, Rudy. Council, any questions from you at this point in time?
No, we don't have any at this time.
Thank you. Moving on. Rudy, please describe your understanding of the council-manager form of government, and more importantly, the appropriate relationship between the city manager, mayor, and council members.
For me personally, I know there's the levels of authority there between the city manager and the mayor, and also that relationship between the city council and the city manager. I for sure respect those levels of authority. But also feel strongly about the council, the mayor, and the city manager being part of a team that works together, that respects each other, and understands what the needs of the community are and creates policies, sets strategies, and understanding that it's the city manager's position to implement those policies and strategies from the council and the mayor. Like I mentioned earlier, I served under two mayors here in Cake and roughly about 12 council members in the years that I worked here as a city administrator. So having that same level of authority and understanding how important the teamwork is, that's how I see that. That's my understanding from a personal point of view.
Hey, Rudy, council, questions at this point?
Any questions on this second question? There is none at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Rudy, tell us about a time when elected officials wanted something that you believed was operationally risky, financially unsound, or inconsistent with policy. How did you handle this?
Living in such a small community, and the relationships you have within the community, not only at the council level, but at the mayoral level, and even the staff. We had on more than one occasion council members trying to involve themselves in the duties of the staff of the city. And one instance that comes to mind is we were looking to hire a city clerk, and one of the council members had a relative apply, and that city council member became a little too much involved. And it took a number of meetings to bring that city council member back to the table in terms of the conflict that was there. Moving into Cake and working for your people, and everybody knowing each other, I can thank my home community for the thick skin that I have. It isn't tough working for your community sometimes, for your people, but because you come across situations like this, and you know, as long as you follow the rules and follow the policies set forth and have transparency, then a lot of these situations, for the most part, don't arise. But when they do, you know, what I've learned through trial and error is to always revert back to the policies that you have on board.
Thank you, Rudy. Again, counsel, any questions?
Councilman Shasti and then Councilman Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Bean, for answering these questions and putting a lot of thought into it. As it relates to the scenario you just gave related to a council member having a relative apply for the clerk's position and injecting him or herself into the process, I'm unclear as to how you addressed it. It sounds like you may have addressed it through the public forum and meetings, or was there more to it than that?
In that particular situation, sir, it involves, for us, this situation, it took, as I recall, about 3 meetings, because this council member happened to be an elder in the community who served in that public office as a council member for close to 20 years. So, we had to ultimately involve our local government specialist, out of Juneau to participate in the last few meetings. So it took, it did take a little bit of tough love for this guy to kind of bring him back on board and understand the situation that he needed to remove himself from that involvement, and basically, you know, with the hiring committee and just excusing himself. So he ultimately excused himself. So. It was a little difficult, but it took some tough love to get him to realize the situation and understand that it wasn't going to help his relative at all for him to be involved. So he ultimately backed off.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman.
Sorry, thank you. Yeah, I guess that was kind of where I was going to go with it, a little more specific. And it sounds like you ultimately ended up getting a specialist, but I was kind of just, again, maybe a little more on the detail. What was your approach, and what did you find that possibly was working and wasn't working?
Policy. He was basically going against policy that he helped create. And then also having the local government specialist participate in that as well was very helpful and helped us resolve that situation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on. Question 4. This position has 11 direct reports, overseeing highly technical departments. Describe your leadership style and how you manage a diverse executive team.
Yeah, that's always a challenge to bring in for this question, 11 different flavors to the conversation to make sure everyone is on board, you know, with what is happening. For me, that is always the biggest challenge. Whether it be coming into a new job or meeting with as many department heads or administrators for different programs. Setting the groundwork for me personally, setting the groundwork and the ground rules right from the start. And if there's policies already there, follow your policies. I've learned through trial and error from the positions that I've had that it is best to do that versus coming into a job and setting your own ground rules. And the last thing you want to do is alienate yourself from your staff or your mayor or your tribal president. For me, transparency is important. And of course, that aspect of trust is also a thing that I try to instill right off from the get-go. And those are working relationships that may take time. First impressions sometimes go a long way, sometimes they don't. I think that's it.
Any questions from the council?
Yes, there are none at this time.
Rudy, remote communities in Alaska face unique challenges involving logistics, weather, workforce recruitment, transportation cost, and supply chain disruptions. What experience do you have managing in similar environments?
Oh gosh, we've here on the island, especially, you can only get to Cake via plane or ferry. We have fuel shipments coming in out of Seattle roughly once a quarter. We have the local freight carrier delivering food out of Seattle once a week. Those are definitely very, very huge challenges that I'm the whole community is used to, in Cake. And even experiencing that with the communities that I've worked for at the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We processed roughly 250 annual contracts and grants for the 230 federally recognized tribes in the state, including the Kalawangan tribe there down in on Alaska. And just hearing the challenges, especially from those communities, doing our best as workers for the BIA to assist, and I know a few times we've had to schedule some flights of food to some of the communities just because the rivers were iced. There's sometimes nothing you really can do other than to prepare yourself. We on the island here, we always, for fuel, we always order more than what is needed just in case. So, here on the island, that's how we kind of prepare for that. We cap off our tanks every order. So, very aware of the challenges that remote and rural communities face here in Alaska.
Council, Follow-up questions.
Mr. Young? Mr. Young?
Yes.
Yeah, you skipped a question under executive leadership.
Yes, I read questions out of order. I was going to go back to question five. I apologize.
Right.
So seeing no questions from the council, going back to question five that I skipped, Rudy, what experience do you have managing labor relations, employee morale, recruitment and retention in difficult labor markets?
Yeah, not only here at the city, but also at the tribe in Craig, Alaska. Especially for those specialized positions, the pool, sometimes the pools of employees there that are ready to work isn't there. So, you know, how do you handle that? For us, that was working with our school districts to make sure that we meet with the students and let them know what positions that not only at the city, but the corporation and the tribe needs, and hopefully create a spark in one of the kids to get out and go to school and come back and serve the community. It has worked on a couple instances, but that's how we've handled that, at least here in the community, is to be at those job fairs that the school district has, introducing ourselves, letting me know what positions that we have here at not only the city, but it's the ANC, Cake Tribal, and at the tribal level, federally recognized tribe level. Some of those highly specialized positions, you know, the learning curves sometimes are just too large. So that's just how we've addressed that for our community, and it's working. It's worked for us at least a couple instances.
Thank you, Rudy. Questions from the council.
Councilman Bell, then Councilman Coleman.
Madam Shabin, my question is along the lines of labor relations. A majority of the staff here and employees of CMO Alaska are covered under collective bargaining agreements. Do you have experience working under any CBAs, or have you been involved with any contract negotiations for unionized labor?
Yes. Thank you, sir, for the question. I am currently, we just recently negotiated a classified agreement with the school board. There is about 15 of us in the classified group, and I was asked to lead those efforts, and it went great. That group, the classified group, didn't have an agreement. I think their last one was from 2017, so it's my second year at the school district, and just being able to do that for our group was very rewarding. So yeah, I hopefully that answers your question. It was a process that involves easily a dozen meetings, sometimes one-on-one with the superintendent, many meetings with the group, and of course, ultimately presenting at a school board meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, he asked my question about union relationships, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to question seven.
Well, Councilman Bell has another question.
Understood.
Yeah, thank you. Just another quick question on labor here and, you know, recruiting employees. It's pretty much, you know, countrywide where there's certain positions, jobs that are hard to fill. For example, you know, police officers, firefighters, educators, et cetera. In what experience do you have? And you touched on it a little bit as far as local recruitment, but what experience and what steps have you been involved with to try and fill similar type positions? I'm assuming there's an assumption here that CAKE is having the same type of problems, or other entities that you've worked with have a hard time filling certain positions. So thank you.
Thank you, sir, for the question. Yeah, one of the, well, at least on the island, we call it highly specialized positions are the bookkeepers for all of the entities here on the island. A bookkeeper having QuickBooks experience, you don't find very many of those individuals here on the island. So how we've tried to remedy that situation is to work with the city, because I think the city has an easier process through their local government specialists to bring in trainers, QuickBooks trainers from off the island to the community. And that has happened at least twice in my tenure at the city. But as you know, employees come and go, so there's always that challenge. But that's how we've remedied that situation to the best that we could.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Rudy, living and working in a small community often means high visibility and close community relationships. How would you navigate that environment professionally?
Yeah, well know how Native politics, or any kind of politics, from the school to the city, it's there no matter where you go. I think you're gonna have politics in the community, and how I've handled that personally is to be fair. You can't pick and choose. You just have to be fair. You have to respect everyone, whether you like them or not. Again, I will always highlight transparency. Especially in those public meetings, that from the city council meeting level to the corporation level to the school boards to those tribal meetings. Again, I've learned through trial and error in my employment and career that transparency is a huge part of my leadership and laying the ground rules of what I think the community should expect from a municipality, from an Alaska Native corporation. Those are important to me.
Council, questions?
No questions at this time.
Good. Rudy, tell us about a major capital project you've managed or oversaw. What challenges arose, and what was the outcome?
Yeah, one of the, being as remote as Cake is, I keep mentioning that, but one question for all of you is, do you know where Cake is and where it's situated in the panhandle down here in Southeast?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we're centrally located in Southeast, and the nearest community for us is Petersburg. And we've been trying to connect to Petersburg for a number of reasons. Access to cheaper fuel, access to even cheaper groceries, access to, you know, sometimes we've had medical situations where planes can't come in, and, you know, some near-death situations. One thing Petersburg has is Alaska Airlines. So public safety is huge for that. But in trying to get a road to Petersburg, part of that is making sure the road has no potholes. And that was always a high priority for us, for the road infrastructure that is on the island. Moving that direction is to ensure that road route is free of potholes, and basically ultimately paved. That at the city level, when I first got hired, was one of the boxes that I checked while I was there, in working with the mayor and the council and the state, our representative, Mr. Stedman out of Sitka, was what can we do to make that happen? It just so happened there was a federal lands access program grant opportunity that was out there. And I didn't mention this earlier, but when I was first hired on as a city, I was asked by the mayor to write grants. And I never written grants before. I ultimately bombed out on the first one, did a little better on the second one, and realized that writing grants takes a lot of time and effort. And if you're going to do one, you better put in 1,000% of your time and energy in putting something good together. So, wrote some more grants, got a few grants. Anyway, moving forward to the federal lands access opportunity, I was able to submit a grant submission to the FLAP program for paving from the community out to an important juncture for us out in the road system. And that was easily 4 years ago now. The grant was ultimately awarded right before I left the city, and that project is just now starting either early to mid next year. Very rewarding project, just to be able to put that submission together, that grant package, and work with not only the Forest Service had to support the project, and they did. Also the state as well. So just being able to work with the different entities off the island and the grant program to make this project a reality was great. And what it's ultimately going to do is what the primary push for us was public safety. Too many times we've had car accidents or just accidents out in the road system, and our ambulance, just took a beating. And we've probably gone through two ambulances now. And it's just quicker to get out there. And if it saves one life, then it's worth it. So thank you. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Rudy. Any questions, follow-up from the council?
Not at this time.
Rudy, Unalaska operates electric, water, wastewater, and solid waste utilities. Describe your experience overseeing public utilities or complex infrastructure systems.
Yeah, that was a huge part of my job at the City of Cake as city administrator is overseeing water and wastewater garbage collection. And ensuring that our collection rate was satisfactory to the state, and that was always a challenge. I oversaw an Alaska Native Tribal Health Project here in the community that replaced a very, very old water infrastructure on basically our main street here in the community. So that was a huge box to check for us because that was at least a 40-year-old water infrastructure and sewer infrastructure that was replaced with newer and safer infrastructure. Our water system comes from a lake just outside the community. So just being able to work with Alaska Native Tribal Health and our designated RMW remote maintenance worker to ensure that our water plant is up to date, that everything is okay in the system. Again, always a challenge because you just never know what's going to happen. But dealt with multiple shutoff notices through the years. PFD collection. Again, tough for the community to have to go through that sometimes, but just referring back to policy and having those public meetings, inviting the public to the community to our meetings regarding tough issues, not only with water collection, wastewater collection, garbage collection, but also even at the harbor. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Rudy. Any follow-up questions from the council?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Rudy, Unalaska provides police, dispatch, jail, fire, EMS, and DMV services. What experience do you have overseeing public safety operations?
Yeah, that was another huge component of my job here at the city. Of Cake. Cake has a VPSO program. Cake has a volunteer fire department. Cake has a volunteer EMS program. So it's those, at least two of those programs are all volunteer. So We have a fire hall in a jail that we support through our local liquor store. Any revenue that we make from our local liquor store here in the community supports public safety. Clinton and Hyda, the regional in Juneau, is basically the pass-through for the VPSO program, you know, to be able to fund those VPSO positions here in the community. It was a challenge, for sure, to retain VPSOs, VPSOs. We had at least three come into CAKE and decide they didn't like the community and didn't even last a month and left. So just being able to retain a VPSO will always be a challenge, I think, for the city. Thankfully, we have one local that went through the training and is now doing that for us. But being a VPSO in a small community, it is very challenging. My nephew happened to be one of the VPSOs that lasted a year and just got burned out. So, yeah, another huge component of my job was making sure that we had public safety in the community.
Thank you, Rudy. Council, any follow-up questions?
None at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. So, as we started late, I have us just past the halfway point in time, and that was our halfway point in questions. We're looking at about 2:43 for the end of our time. We're on a good pace. So thank you, Council, for limiting the questions. And thank you, Rudy, for your answers. Okay, question 11. What is your philosophy regarding the relationship between public safety departments and the community they serve?
Thomas, can you say that one more time?
Sure. What is your philosophy regarding the relationship between public safety departments and the community they serve?
I think easily respect, having the respect of the membership that you serve gets reciprocated. I've seen, again, through trial and error, where, especially in positions of authority, and especially for new individuals coming into community and not giving respect, absolutely doesn't work. And I get there's levels of trust there also, and, you know, being transparent, in my opinion, having the respect there it's huge if you're going to be, regardless of what you do in the community, as a local or as an outsider, is having the respect of the community, the membership that you serve.
Thank you, Rudy. Council, any follow-up questions?
None of us time.
Okay. Rudy, please describe your experience managing municipal budgets, particularly in communities with fluctuating or industry-dependent revenues.
Yes, thank you for that question. I can say in various levels, especially to dollar amounts, I've had quite a few years of managing budgets from a small amount to 30 to $40 million budgets, transportation project budgets at the BIA transportation level, and ensuring that those projects got finished, and ensuring that at least making sure, and this was huge, especially on those big projects, ensuring that monies were being spent properly. So that was always a challenge at my tenure at the Department of Interior. And I'll just focus on that because, I mean, obviously at the city level, you work with the budget. You know, you follow policies. You work with the mayor. You work with your financial staff. You work with your finance committee on putting together budgets that's going to meet your needs. But when I talk about budgets, I was kind of deferred to my time at BIA. For every contract or grant that we provided to a federally recognized tribe, budget processing, budget formulation was a huge component in ensuring those budgets were spent properly. One of the big reasons why we did monitoring visits out to the communities was just to monitor those contracts and to ensure that everything was running properly. Each visit to a community lasted roughly 3 days, working with the financial staff, tribal president, sometimes the mayor, in the different boards and committees. You know, budgets are snapshots in time. You can budget for the next 12 months, but you just never know on those unforeseen expenses what's going to come through. So when and if that happens, then you know, you're having those meetings to make those amendments or make those adjustments to make sure that still everything is successful.
Thank you, Rudy. Are there follow-up questions from the council?
The mayor had to step out for a minute. Does anybody have any questions? Mr. Bell?
Mr. Bean, in your experience with the City of Cake, and you mentioned BIA, and if this question's redundant, you cut out just a little bit at the very start of your response to the answer here. Did you have direct involvement or control over the budgeting process in any one of those entities?
I wouldn't want to say that as a staffer for the BIA that I would say that this is how it has to be. You know, it was never like that, but pretty much I could say you know, those small towns, those small villages, and there's quite a few of them, you know, a lot of the financial staffers out in the villages really relied on the BIA to ensure that, you know, the budgets were put together properly. And basically, for me, for other local or self-determination specialists, was just to be there to support the tribes in managing their budgets and addressing those questions whenever they arose regarding budget expenditures, budget adjustments. We gave our recommendations for sure. And that was our job.
Thank you. I do have a follow-up question. In your time as a city administrator with the City of Cake, I forgot where I was going with that question. But I was just trying to rephrase the question or get a little more understanding of your involvement with the budget, where the revenues for the City of Cake come from, and how you negotiated between the different entities, and how much involvement did you actually have as a city administrator in that budget process?
The majority, thank you, sir, for the question. The majority of our revenues, and I think that come into every municipality, comes from the state. Revenue sharing money is what one of the pots are called, and then PILT is another revenue stream from the state. For us at the city, we had three enterprises: the liquor store, our harbor enterprise, and our water, sewer, and garbage enterprise. Each one of those were self-sustaining. But for staff, and even, you know, those, the salaries, and then, electricity, and those hard expenses, those were covered through, the state revenues that are given to each municipality.
All right. Thank you.
Any further questions? Yeah, we have none at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Moving on to question 13. Rudy, what experience do you have managing proprietary funds, utility finances, or major grant administration?
Pretty much that. My employment career has involved all of that. What I'm, at least for now, and at least back to the start of my employment career at the city, I got really involved in grant writing. I have, I've written a number of grants that were awarded from our federal project for paving to the harbor electrical upgrade for the city. Wrote a grant to the State of Alaska Department of Transportation for a floating boat launch. New LEDs at the harbor. In 2017, we lost our only maritime facility fuel dock. And since then, up to today, we have to deliver fuel via truck to the boats for fuel. And those smaller boats just, you know, the customers just pull their small boats on their trucks right up to the fuel station to fuel up. We just recently got awarded funding from Murkowski through her CDS program portal. For that, I assisted. In fact, we have a grant being submitted today through Port Infrastructure, the PIDP program, for the fuel dock that I helped put together. And there's some other small grants out there that I've written and been awarded. But yeah, our fuel facility, adding a fuel facility to the community is a huge priority. So we've been really working on that, plus funding for a bear observatory out on the road system that we're looking to add to our tourism program and provide a live stream camera on the creek. We also just recently got awarded temporary bridge replacement program from the Forest Service that I'm working on. I'm managing that project currently. So yeah, grants for me has been pretty busy in the last, probably 10 years. Trying to bring these projects that the community needs to reality. So, and I'm sure it's this way out on Alaska. You know, you look at us, you know, our lives are half over, or maybe the majority of us, but it's just the things that we do for the next generation so they can enjoy, these great projects and things that I certainly didn't have growing up. So humble beginnings for sure. Grew up chopping wood my whole life, packing water with my mom. Fishing with my uncle every summer just to make a few bucks for him. Yeah, humble beginnings for sure. Pretty much my passion these days is to figure out what I can do to make sure and ensure our next generations are going to have a better quality of life than I did for sure. And that's the passion that I took to Fairbanks. That's the passion that I took to Craig Tribe. And that's the same passion that I would bring to Unalaska, is to do whatever I can to make sure the kids in your community has it better than what we had.
Thank you, Rudy. Council, any follow-up questions?
No, not at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, moving on to question 14. Rudy, how do you build trust and credibility in a community where residents, businesses, and elected officials may have competing interests?
For us, at least when I was at the city, to remedy that situation was to have a community meeting. A community meeting and multiple entity meetings. Not everybody gets along. Everybody has their own personal issues that affects business decisions, community decisions. But for us here in the community, what worked was to invite those entities that are crucial to the survival of the community and try to get those people, those important leadership to get along, to work together. For the common goals, and the common goals, like I said earlier, is what can we do to improve the quality of life for the next generations. And that was always the leading factor that would bring everybody together and ultimately work together. I get it's not easy to put differences aside, and it's easier to do that when everybody's together, and that's what's worked for us. And an example is the communities coming together to support the road to Petersburg, and to ultimately try to get that completed. We're about 5 miles short of Petersburg, so it was a challenge in the beginning because, for the most part, tribes, were maybe concerned about the environment and the impacts of simply building a road. But for this road specifically, the benefits, you know, outweighed, you know, the negatives. So, yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Rudy. Follow-up questions from the council?
There are none right now at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Moving on to question 15, Rudy, please describe a time you addressed a significant public criticism or controversy.
Personally?
I think that or as your role as the city administrator.
Yeah. You know, I always push those complaints to the council and the mayor. You know, if anything, you know, the president for Craig Tribe was a very strong personality, great leader, respected in the community. It was determined within the Native community and Craig that I was too close to him, and that I wasn't my own. I didn't have my own opinion. It was all about what the president wanted, and that was totally not the case. But I understand the appearance, just because we were all together working on projects out in the community, making ourselves visible in the community. Really, that's all I can think about. I can't recall any. Like public criticism of myself. I learned early on in my second really major job, leaving the state after I graduated college, how important respect and transparency is, and that was, you know, through trial and error. So that's just something I followed through my whole employment career. You better have something I like to stand on if you're gonna say something on social media or even say something in a public meeting about myself or what I'm doing.
Thank you, Rudy.
Hopefully that answers your question.
Council, any follow-up questions?
Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, thank you. I guess you've kind of led into just a continuation of that. I mean, you said that you were kind of criticized because people thought you were friends with a, you know, other influential, I think, with the Craig tribal president. Again, it kind of goes back to public perception. So how do you then, how do you see yourself and, you know, when you are looked at, you know, in your public perception and how people look at you, like whether you're at the office or, you know, at a social event or whatever, you know, you're gonna be looked at always to be representing, like, you know, the city or the tribe or whatever. What how do you feel like that is your? I guess I say, how you deal with that on a daily basis? Is that it's just kind of more of a perception of, you know, how do you deal with public perception? And it was like, how do you treat that in your role?
I've learned no matter what you do, right or wrong, there's always going to be someone throwing popcorn at you, regardless of what you do or say. And you just can't help that. There's always going to be that group. So how I've approached that is whatever I'm doing, whether it's doing simple PE for the kids of the school district or, working with Alaska Native Corporation Board of Directors on a project is and how it's going to affect the community. For me, you can't. I don't worry about it. I personally don't. Like I said, I don't worry. Think about what the public's going to say, because there's always going to be something that's going to be said. So I just do my job. And for me, it's simple as that. I just do my job. The only persons that matter are, at least at the city level, are the mayor and, of course, the city council. And, you know, making sure those relationships and what they say is what matters more than the public, because there's just always something that the public's gonna say, and you can't let it bother you. If it's great, good stuff, then great. You take that as a grain of salt. It doesn't I do my best to make sure that things like that don't bother me, basically. And again, I think I'm at this point in my employment career, I think I can do that pretty good, just because of the many situations I've been involved with, and of course the thick skin that I have now.
Okay, thank you for your response.
Okay, thank you.
Right, so we have no further questions. Thank you, Mayor. We have three scripted questions left, and then we'll turn it over to you, Rudy. We've got about 16 minutes or so left in our time. So question 16. How would you approach relationships with regional, state, tribal, and federal partners?
I've always approached meetings, whether it be from our representative in Juneau regarding projects and funding, to the district ranger for the Forest Service in Petersburg, to staffers at Murkowski's office, to the different state entities and federal entities like Alaska Native Tribal Health and the different grant programs within the state is with respect. Too many times I've seen, for example, a mayor or a board member or someone in leadership come into a meeting with an axe to grind, and it just, it ruins whatever we were trying to do. We're trying to work with that entity on, for example, we lost a trail project from the Forest Service here in the community when I was at the city because our leadership came into that meeting basically with an axe to grind, and the district ranger and their leadership team didn't appreciate it and just moved on. Like I said, but there's a new district ranger. I get along with her great. Because at some point when you're writing a grant or you're needing a project in a community, you're going to need a letter of support. And a letter of support from an entity like the Forest Service, the state of Alaska, Senator Murkowski, or Senator Stedman, who happens to be the finance chair, in Juneau, you just have to have a level of respect right from the get-go. And I think I have that. If you spoke to any one of those individuals that I've mentioned, they would say that I do show them respect and that there is a good relationship there. We would not have the project in the community without the positive relationships that have been formed with these individuals and entities. So for me, it's always having that respect. And if you have a personal difference, you leave that at the door when you go into that room.
Great. Thank you, Rudy. Council, any follow-up questions?
There are none at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Question 17, Rudy. What would your priorities be during your first 6 months as city manager for Unalaska?
Yeah, I think I thought about that question, kind of went back and forth on how I'd address that. You know, and I think about the jobs that I've had before, and what I've done to start those positions. What I've done in the past, and it could even be different. I'm not sure, but what I've done in the past is there are important relationships there you have to cultivate. That of course is the levels of authority that are there, whether it be a mayor or your supervisor or your board or entity, is to cultivate those relationships, and then that transitions to cultivating those relationships that you know your staffers that are below you. And one thing I've always supported is getting into the community and introducing yourself and getting into those community events so you could be seen and you know, in basically introducing yourself. I think that's very important so the people could see you and you know, you just kind of go from there. But I've had that has worked with me. That has worked for me in my employment career. It's just making sure those relationships are there. I wouldn't want to go into a new job today and basically avoid those levels of authority and be on my own. That would not work. That's something I wouldn't do. You know, you could say, well, you can go over your budgets. You know, and that's going over budgets, going over projects. You know, that's just for me. That's just all part of that process. Of getting settled in. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Rudy. Any follow-up questions from the council?
None at this time, thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. Question 18. Rudy, describe a strategic initiative you led from concept through implementation.
Oh, wow, that. You know, you might say that ties into you know, a project that was yours, and you put it together, and then you completed one position that's I didn't put on my resume was I was recently the executive director for the Cake Tribal Heritage Foundation. But that is the foundation that, you know, we provide burial benefits, basically provide, assistance to our shareholders for scholarships. We have a great intern program that was just started, but one really important initiative we started when I was at the foundation was to try to put together a tribal learning center in the community. And that is really important for our community right now. We have a lot of people in the community, especially with our youth, that are getting disenfranchised and are struggling with just coping with what people are dealing with in their lives. So we believe that at least at the foundation level, that the learning center would help our people. We created some great concepts of the learning center, and are currently, at least for me, behind the scenes, we're waiting for Indian Education grant program to announce their funding opportunity for funding. And that's an allowable project under the program. So culture is important here, and I'm sure it's important there in Unalaska, in ensuring our youth is supported. And that's really the our mission statement involves is supporting our community and especially the youth in our community.
Thank you, Rudy. Follow-up questions from the council?
There are none at this time.
Rudy, question 19 is a scenario-based question. And then after this, you can ask any questions you might have. And that scenario is, A major storm disrupts marine deliveries. Fuel shipments are delayed, and residents are concerned about supply shortages. Walk us through your first 48 hours as city manager in this situation.
I think that's definitely a situation that kind of relates to what we deal with currently on the island in terms of our fuel station. Going through that scenario is we've discussed that, you know, probably once or twice every year, just making sure that that checklist, those processes are covered in a situation like this. But I think, I don't know about there, but when there is a fuel shortage, the community gets all excited. And I say that not like happy, but it's a tense situation because we need fuel. And so how we've addressed that and how we've kind of planned that out is to, of course, inform the public of what the situation is. And, of course, having those meetings, not only locally, but with the provider, the fuel provider, and that is for us, it's Petromarine, who delivers the fuel for us. And like I said earlier, I think in avoiding a situation like that, I think we've prepared, we've made preparations to avoid situations like that by ordering more fuel than what is needed just to avoid that situation. But I know it's a situation that regardless could happen. But having those meetings, that public announcement right off the get-go is something we identified as being important. And of course, having those meetings locally and with all the other entities, and of course, working hand in hand with our fuel delivery company.
Great. Thank you, Rudy. Council, any follow-up questions?
We have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Rudy, we have just a...
Hold on.
I guess less of a follow-up question. Do we have one of the other candidates logged in right now? I thought I just saw his name pop up. Was I mistaken on that?
Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead, Mr. Young.
Thank you, Mayor. Rudy, we have just a few minutes for you to ask a question, maybe two, before we're out of time. Do you have any questions for the council?
Mr. Young, I don't.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. Mayor or Council, any last questions for Rudy before I close us out?
Who's on the phone? Anyone? Mr. Longo, do you have any questions?
I do not at this time. Thank you.
Council members, any last comments or questions for Mr. Bean? There are none at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Rudy, thank you so much. 90 minutes is a long time. We appreciate your flexibility in making this Saturday work, taking the time to speak with us, your candor and your thoughtfulness in your answers, At this point, the council will conduct the remaining interviews. They will begin deliberations on what their next steps look like. I will be following up with you sometime early next week with what the council decides, how they want to move forward with their process. At this point in time, your interview is completed. You can take a break. I'm sure it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, I really, really appreciate the opportunity. The interview questions were great. I just appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you also, Mr. Bean. Good luck. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Rudy.
So we're going to take a break here in council chambers until the next meeting, until the next interview. So I'm going to mute the city's connection on Teams right now for a little bit. You are all welcome to stay online, or you can leave the meeting and join again later.